All right, y'all, you're in the building for another Kingdom Building Conversation. I got one of the brothers from the industry who I would say is one of the guys who is always talking to the Lord in his songs, man. Before I even bring him on the screen, I'd love to know if y'all can guess who this dude is. He has a voice that cuts through the beats that come across. I would say when he's rhyming, he's more often than not speaking to the Lord as opposed about the Lord. See if you can guess who this dude is. You might not even know where he's from because of the way he rhymes. The beats come across kind of East Coasty, boom back sometimes, melodic, yet his flow can go across different places, East Coast, West Coast, Third Coast, you don't know necessarily. Dropped two albums last year, two, and you might say, well, yeah, sure, it was pandemic time. He had plenty of time. Nah, they dropped early in the year, so, gotta think about that. So, nah, this is pre-planned. Who do you guess? I'm gonna tell you who it is. Young C. Welcome, yo. Young C, to the Kingdom Building Conversation. What's good, brother?
What's going on, man?
It's good to see you, man. It's good to see you. Been monitoring your career success for a minute, man. It's good to finally catch up, bro.
Hey, we've been trying to do this for a while.
Yeah,
we finally getting it done. So I'm ready to see what y'all got for me.
Yeah, it's overdue, brother. It's overdue. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start here, man. I always like to start with something fun. Even before the lightning round, I don't know if you've seen the lightning round, so you don't get your mind wrapped on that one. But what's one thing you can share with the Holy Culture audience that even those who think they know Young C best, even my Dukes, doesn't know?
That is a great question, and it's the first question. Okay.
No warm up. But I see. I know you're ready.
Yeah. A lot of information this early. We don't know. I got to really sit on that one for
okay.
a little bit.
I'll let you come back.
Yeah, come
That's
back.
That's a hard one. That's a hard one. All right,
that
cool.
Is.
That's a hard one. Well, listen, man. I've been watching your stuff for a while, man. The first thing I saw was again Jerusalem, and it hit me, man, because I'm not playing when I talk about the intro. I'm a little older than you and been around this thing for a minute, and it just hit me. When the first time I saw the video, I think you were like standing in some kind of little stone pillar spot. Your hair was fully out.
Graffiti spot.
Yeah. Graffiti spot. And you just, the lyrics just like cut through. And I kept rewinding. Yeah. And I said, this dude, I got to follow up and see who this guy is. And I do this with every MC. And so this is a good thing to say for everybody. Just knows it. You know, I just watch for a while, man. I'm patient. I like to see and get to know who an artist is and kind of watch their music for a minute. And then I saw the consistency of what you were doing. You know what I mean? I said, let me reach out and see, let's build a little bit. And we started talking a little bit on social and getting some of your music and videos. And so, yeah, man. So I really appreciated what you've been doing. So where are you from originally?
I am from Riverside, California.
Okay.
Well, I'm from California. If you ask different people that say he's from this area, because I've jumped around so much. I was one of those kids that I was here for a minute, then I was there. So I am from California, though.
Okay. Riverside. And where'd you grow up? Where'd you spend most of your childhood?
Most of my childhood was between Riverside and Banning, an area called Banning. It's a little town. But both of those areas, I'm 32. So between the 32 years, it's like half and half.
Okay. And you've got how many children now?
I have two.
Yeah, two.
My daughter is 13. My son is 7.
Yeah, I saw him in the I think it was God's Image video, right?
They God's went with Image.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Now and since then, they want to be in every video.
Well, sure. I mean, once you let them out.
Yeah. Especially the boy. Like he is every day. He's every time I get ready to go shoot something, he's asking to be a part.
Oh yeah,
which is a blessing.
Absolutely. That's good, man. Cherish the time that they want to hang out. You know what I mean? Because they get to that age, man, and then they like, all right, pops. You know.
You go especially the 13-year-old. She's on her own type of thing right now. Like, I can do it myself, Dad. So it's just like, I got to watch out for that one.
Exactly. I want to jump into the lightning round, man. These are a series of questions I love to ask, man, to let the audience get to know who you are. There's no right or wrong answer. Just don't overthink them. You know what I mean? These are lighthearted questions. There's no judgment. It's a lightning round zone. So I'll ask you a few easy ones to get you going. What's the first item on your bucket list?
Say it again.
What's the first item on your bucket list?
Shoot. Oh, man.
I'm hitting you hard, ain't I? I'm hitting you hard today.
Hey, it's so many there.
But the first item.
You know, you first item. So are we talking about just like a retail item? Or are we talking about a house?
It could be a retail item. It could be experience. It could be, you know, something you like, man, before I go, this has to happen.
This what I want to do. I want to open up my own school. That's what I want to do.
Love that. Yeah. Love that. Texting or talking?
Oh, text.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't call me.
Okay. All right. Favorite verse of scripture?
Say it again?
What's your favorite verse of scripture?
Psalms 23.
Name your parents.
And I'll give you some background on that. That's because, it is lightning round. But that's because that's my grandma. That's the one she hit me over the head with. From, you know, she planted that. And then when I came back around to the Lord, it was like, that's what I knew to
grandmama,
go to.
First. Yes. That grandmama. That's what's up. Name your parents used to call you.
Booger.
Booger. Yeah, that sound right. Top three songs. Top three songs on your playlist.
From me or just
anybody.
Shoot. Dang, that one right there.
That's tough.
It's and this is why. It's because I barely listen to music.
Oh, really?
You know, so it's just like but if we go top three, like right now, currently, I can't say the songs because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But Stevie. It's all Stevie Wonder.
Is that right? Nice. Did you see that? Did you see he recently said he's leaving America, man?
He's moving. He's out of here.
He's out of here, man. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Summer's coming, man. What's your favorite summer activity?
I don't like summer.
You don't like bro.
I don't like. I'm a hoodie guy, so I like putting my hoodie on. And as you see in the Jerusalem video, like in all of the videos, really, I got hoodies on. So it's like I don't like summer. But if I got to get in the pool. I haven't been in the pool in a minute.
Yeah.
I got to do that.
I'm a sweat master, so I don't like summer because of that. If a movie was made about your life, what genre would it be? And who would play you?
It got to be drama. There's a lot of that. Mm-hmm, and who would play? Anybody that's out right now? I'm going to say Michael B.
Michael Bay. Okay. Got you. Okay. All right. Fill in these blanks real quick. When I dance, I look like
Carlton.
When I meet the president, I'm going to ask him.
We talking about the current president?
Mm-hmm.
Where my stimulus at? That's what I'm
going to ask him. I know that's right. When the pandemic is over, I'm going to.
Oh, man. You know what? There hasn't been much that I haven't been able to do. And since that started, I've still been moving the same way.
Okay.
If I had to say something, it would be something that I would be able to do together with my kids.
Okay, got you. When they make a movie about my life, they will call it.
Well done.
Well done. Love it. All right, brother. I'm gonna leash you from the lightning round. That was good. What inspires you, man?
Scripture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's so, I get so much from that that I can line up with my life and be like, yo, I went through this. I felt like this. So it's just like that. Not even just musically, like just in general, like the Bible is good.
Yeah.
You know, it's current. Like everything that's happening in today's time is still biblical.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Who's someone who has had a deep positive effect on your life?
What's your answer?
Your grandma.
Man, that belt. That's what it was. That's she kept that out. So, yeah, definitely my grandma. My mom, too. Like, they play equal roles. But my grandma, as far as, like, me you see now, that was her.
Yeah. What keeps you going? What keeps you moving forward?
It's a... my kids number one. I mean, because they now at the age they're at, the attention that they you know, their attention level and how they look at how I move and the way I do things, it's just like, it not only keeps me going, but it makes me do stuff the right way.
Yeah. How do they see what you do in terms of, you know, Christian hip hop? And you know, you're not, I mean, there's so many shades of Christian hip hop across the spectrum, right?
Right.
And I'm not making a judgment right or wrong or about any of them. You know what I mean? I love them all. I think they all have a placement. Yours is right. So specific Christian capitals. You dig what I'm saying? How do they see it?
I can speak for my daughter, because she's the older one now, and she was aware of what was going on before I was doing Christian music or before I was living this type of life. So she's just like, you can, it's not much change, you know, like. A lot of people think that you have to put this away. You got to stop doing this. You got to be like this. You can't do that. I'm still her father.
Right.
You know, so she, and she sees me be the same person I am in real life in music.
Right.
So it's like, she looks at it and she's just like, man, I can be happy by making a choice to live righteous.
Mm.
You know, so it's like, you're 13. Well, she started this when she was 9 years old.
Right.
10 years old. And she was just like, I want to live for God like my dad is trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I told her, like, you know, man, you might not get everything right. You're still young, and that's okay.
Right.
You know, that's but she's determined, like, I wanna stay right.
Yeah.
You know, just for somebody at that age, and I wouldn't like that at that age. So for at that age, for her to be that way is a blessing to me. And again, to go back to your question, it's just like why I have to keep going and doing things the correct way.
Yeah, yeah. And like you mentioned, you know, they went to one video and now they want to go to all of them. Are they tracking with you to the studio sometimes and whatnot as well?
Well, my daughter, she is, she sings.
Oh, okay.
So all the Disney songs and, you know, all the, you know, that type of feel, like she's killing that. So when I'm done with music, even before I'm done, like, I want to develop her to where if that's where she wants to go,
right,
then I want to be able to open up opportunities for her to walk into that without any problem.
Man, that's nice.
And then my son, again, he got the other side. He got the basketball side.
Okay.
So he's over there.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Yeah.
What artists inspire you? I know Stevie. You mentioned Stevie, obviously.
Stevie.
Yeah.
Right now, it's just like, I say every artist, you know, I say every artist because there's something that even the people I don't follow closely like that, there's something that they do that makes me be like, oh, wow, you did that way.
Right.
Or, you know, you like, just to even see an artist, any artist get on a stage in front of people, it's just, you know how hard that is.
Yeah.
Somebody to get in front of people and rap or sing or do spoken word or whatever it is that you do,
right,
whatever type of artist that you are, if you're in front of people, like, that's inspiring. Because before I got to where I am now, even now, like, I have to battle to get in front of people.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've dealt with a lot of fear, and if you hear it in the music, like, that was one of the things that I had to overcome. And it's just like, to see an artist get in front of people and share their gift, that inspires me alone.
That's beautiful, man. And I agree with you, because it takes a lot to get up there. Like, a lot of folks talk about they want it and they don't realize, right? And they go through it. And I think, you know, the blessing is a lot of barriers have been removed. You know what I'm saying? Like, back in the day, having to go through a label or, you know, to be seen, you had to, you know, get on MTV or BET and all those things. And all those barriers are gone. To some, it's a blessing. To some, it's like, oh, shoot, now I can put it out there.
Yeah.
But I didn't, you know, I don't really want to put it out there. Like, if I post it, people will see it and say something, right?
Yeah.
And I can't turn the comments off on every platform. And I don't want that criticism and feedback. Right. You know what I mean? So it takes a lot. So I give a lot of credit to people who are willing to do it. Put their own chips up and do it. You know what I'm saying? I always say, you know, when you put your own chips up, that says a lot. Your creativity, your purpose, your passion.
Especially right now.
Especially
like
right now.
In this pandemic where everything is shut down, it's like you have to be creative times 10 to, and if you're consistent, like you have to be creative times 10 and putting yourself in front of people because it's very limited right now.
Absolutely.
You can't do shows. You can't go here. You can't go there. And it's just like the people that have survived this, I really applaud them because it was tough.
Absolutely. I mean, they said last year, man, can you get your mind around this? Last year, there were 17,000 new podcasts created every week. Not new episodes. God. People launching a brand new branded podcast every week last year. Right? Somebody saying, I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm going to launch my new podcast. That happened 17,000 times every week last year, bro. I mean, that's unbelievable, man. So
everybody has something to talk about.
For real. For real. Bring your gifts and talents to the table. You know what I mean?
Right.
So how long you been doing music now and how did you get into it? Well, how'd you first get into doing music?
I was always a music head. My dad, he named me after KRS-One.
Is that right?
So, yeah, And this is like, I guess he kind of planted that seed. Again, growing up, I wasn't trying to rap.
Right.
I wasn't trying to, you know, I loved music, but I wasn't trying to be a part of it. I was just a listener. But I was always a performer. Like, if I had anything that I can use as a mic, I would use it, you know, and just perform. This is around the time when Bad Boy and Diddy was really, they had Biggie was booming. Mace was doing his thing. And this is the time I was just performing all the Bad Boy songs. I thought I was from Brooklyn.
Yeah,
you know,
I
told everybody that. Yeah. Like, I'm from Brooklyn. So I didn't know what that was doing in that time, but that was, you know, that was working on me, developing me as a lyricist, developing me as a writer. And around 2007, I don't know where the idea came from. Oh, high school, I had people around me that was rapping. I was like, you know what, they always question me, like, you don't rap? And they was like, nah, he just hoop. And I was like, you know what, let me try it out. And I started messing around with it. I wrote my first little, it was in my English class. We had to do like a poem. Mm-hmm. And I put the poem together like a rap. And they was like, whoa, everybody was going crazy. And I was like, maybe I can do this.
Yeah.
So I started working on it more. I started getting instrumentals I would rap to. I formed a little a group. And we just started rapping. And from there, it's like, okay, maybe I can do this thing. So I didn't get serious with it until 2010.
Gotcha.
And in 2010 is when I was like, okay, I'm gonna start making like albums and mixtapes and see what happens. And then it kept growing. And by 2015, I was offered my first record deal.
Universal, right?
This was by Interscope.
Interscope.
They offered me a deal and this is around the time where I had my son and I started making, you know, I was like, I need the income.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was like I was going back to church.
Mm.
I was trying to find my way with the Lord. So I was like, this is a blessing, mm-hmm. you know, being offered a deal. This got to be from God. But it didn't feel right.
Right.
So I was like, all right, God, like, what are you asking me to do? And I heard it clearly. Like, he was like, turn that deal down.
Hmm.
Turn that deal down.
What do you think?
And I was like,
why do you think? What was going on with the deal? What was
it was because I wasn't fully submitted to him.
Mm.
You know, and I feel like the deal situation was you can have the world or you can have me. That's your choice right now. And it was, and I didn't know how to express these things to the people that was around me. The people that were around me was like, yo, you got to go do what you got to do. This is your takeoff.
Right.
And I was just like, yeah, but it doesn't feel right. I felt like when this was going to happen, it was going to feel right.
Right.
And so I was like, all right, man, I don't. And again, at that time I wasn't where I am with God right now.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what he was talking about, what he wanted me to do fully. But I listened and I was like, you know what? I'm going to turn the deal down. I walked away from the deal. And then after that, my first Christian project came together And now you see what we see now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so prior to that, it was more secular. And then you were Christian after that. From
2010, or from the time I started rapping to 2015,
yeah.
Like, I was a whole different rapper.
Got it. Were you still using the same name, Young C?
I was going by Young Chris.
Young Chris, got it. Got it. Man, how hard was it to walk away from that deal, even after hearing God's voice, man?
I won't say the deal part. That part wasn't hard. It was the part of knowing what God was telling me to do.
Mm.
Because I thought, like, when he started taking me out of these things, I felt like I wasn't going to be a rapper. I was like, okay, you leave to be something else. And that's what I had to figure out. I was like, okay, I don't have to be a pastor. I don't have to be a youth leader or, you know, stuff like this.
Right.
For one, I just have to listen to the voice of God and be obedient.
Yeah.
And then it was like, seek ye first and he'll handle the rest, you know, like live righteously, he'll handle the rest. And that's one of the scriptures that I still stand on today, because I really had to live that out. Like, I didn't know what he was telling me to do. All I knew was music at that time. And I was like, all right, you're telling me to take a break. I couldn't create the way I normally would create. I had to find a different way of going about it. And he gave me everything.
Yeah.
You know, still to this day, like, everything you hear, like, he supplies that. It's just,
yeah.
It's really hard for me to put it in words because it's something that just happens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it wasn't hard. That part wasn't hard. It was just finding myself and what he was telling me to do was the part I was going through.
That's good. Now, were you brought up in the church? What helped you flip in or transition to Christian hip hop?
I have a church background. My grandma, right. You know, I was in there. But, you know, being in there, you don't have a real relationship because they got you in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grandma had me in there. Right. So when I was able to do my own thing, I went and did my own thing. I was influenced by my friends or who I was around.
Right.
It was the girls and it was the, you know, that type of lifestyle. So a friend of mine, his name is Dar Holly. He brought me to a service back in 2010, and this is the church that I go to now, ALFC. Like, I go to that church. I still attend that church, but he brought me there, and I feel like I had an encounter. I went down and to the altar call, and right that moment, I felt something change.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, regardless of how I was living, I still was staying in the church.
Yeah.
You know, so I was still being fed. Seeds were still being planted. And like I said, I still go to that church now, but it didn't happen overnight. Sure. A lot of people think that when you come to Christ, that happens overnight. It wasn't an overnight thing. Like, sure. I went through so much from 2010 to I totally surrendered in 2016, 17. So in that 6-7 year frame, it was just like, I wasn't consistent with my walk, but I could still hear the voice of God telling me, like, get right.
Yeah.
Get right. If you really want what I got for you, you got to get right.
Yeah.
That's like good, you can get a little glimpse of it and a little bit here and there, but you won't get the full thing until you fully surrender.
Yeah. Yeah. So you were hearing that voice, man, pull you in.
Yeah.
You know, you've dropped some real compelling songs. What do you want to accomplish through your music?
When this question comes up, I always answer like this. Like, now. Going this way with music, it's never about music. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to be able to, this is my way of sharing the gospel.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not going to see me in a pulpit like that. You're not going to see me out here preaching on corners or nothing like that. Or you might, I don't know what God has in store, but right now it's just like music has been my way of sharing the gospel.
Yes.
And as long as he lets me do it this way, it already feels like an accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the only thing I feel like is real success to me.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody says, like, I got a message on IG right before we started where he was just like, a guy would hit me and he was telling me, like, your music really changed the way I was living. You know, like, you're not the traditional Christian artist, which I don't want to be. I don't feel like you said, you can listen to my music and think I'm from here. You think I'm from there. I use different type of sounds, different type of beats, and I don't want to be in just this one category. Right. I want to be what you can't box God. Like, right. I want to follow that. Right. So my accomplishment is I just want to save souls and lead people to Christ, man. Like, that's it. Yeah. That's it.
You know, when you think about music now, man, to your point, you know, back then, even you were signing with Interscope back in '07. Interscope was, who's that? Interscope was Big Boy with Dre, right? Was that before he went in jail? Or
That's before then.
That was before then, yeah. And Jimmy Irvine. And now, again, no, you don't necessarily need a label. You still can, but you don't necessarily need a label. How do you feel like internet and technology has changed music? How do you think about it?
I feel like there's its pros and its cons, obviously. I think the pros to it is the people that don't have access to those certain relationships and certain people, you can't get in front of a certain audience. This is the way now.
Yeah.
Like social media puts you in front of anybody. You don't know who's going to see you.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, when it's time to be hands-on with stuff or really out on the field, like you don't know what to do when it's time to get out there.
Yeah.
You know, because you're so social media savvy that, or internet savvy that when it's time to really talk business and get in front of somebody and answer these questions or really, what if the internet got shut down today? What are you going to do?
Right.
You know, like, well, how are you going to, you don't know how to sell mixtapes out of your trunk. You don't know how to, you know, go to a school and set up and just be like, here, I got a mixtape. You don't know how to, you know,
right.
Like back in when I was growing up, that's what I used to see people do. They on campus, just out here giving out CDs and album covers that they took pictures on a little.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, that's the way I've seen done. So for the fact that I've been able to be around for both sides of it, it's a blessing, you know, and the people that are around me, like the younger guys that are around me, I try to give them that game and tell them like you have to do more than internet.
Yeah,
like it's way more than that.
Yeah, that's so true, man. See, I feel blessed to have seen the whole cycle and the process, because there's some things out of that, those earlier stages, and watching some of that. You know what I mean? Even this past Sunday, I was watching a movie. I don't know why. I mean, my wife's just gonna laugh. I watch it every time it comes on. Temptations movie. Bro, watching that, you know, just in another movie with the Five Heartbeats and Big Red and all that. Just there's something about the whole cycle that has transpired, man, even though we're here today and appreciating all of that. You know what I mean? And the man, how artists couldn't own their masters and all those different things and didn't appreciate and didn't understand publishing and all those different things, and where we're at now, the ability to literally have an idea this morning, record it at noon and have it out at 5 o'clock. You know what I mean?
At 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean,
literally,
it's crazy. It's crazy, man. Yeah,
like you know, they don't like these artists these days don't have anybody to tell them no.
Yeah,
you know, like we can, including myself, like, and even when the people I have people around me that tell me no, but because I've been in this new age of how everything works, it's just like when somebody tells me no, I really have to sit down and listen to why they told me no,
right?
Because it's so easy that I could be like, I don't need you. I could go do it myself. Like you said, I can go record it, get it sounding the way. I don't even need to have it mixed. There's so many artists that don't get anything mixed nowadays or mastered.
Right.
So it's like, I could just record it, go straight to whatever you use and put it on all these streaming platforms. Or put it on SoundCloud, put it on YouTube. I could do it all myself.
Yeah.
Like, what do I need? That's what I hear so much. What do I need you for?
Yeah.
It's like back in the day. Nah, that wasn't the attitude we could have.
Right. Well, it's relatable though to that to something we say all the time. Not everything is sinful, but it may not be profitable. You know what I mean? And so in this era, just because you could do it, it doesn't mean it's accretive. It may be dilutive. And so you just have to ask yourself, when you skip a good mix or spending time with a good producer, I mean, the value of a producer is somebody who's checking you, saying, yeah, the lyrics are hot, the beat's hot, but they're not melding together into a good song.
Exactly. Right?
A song has a structure and something people will remember. That's why it's called a hook, because it hooks them in and people are going to say it over and over again. That's why it's called a hook. It's called a bridge. It's called a bridge because it goes right. It's composition. There's a reason people go to school for these things. It's a reason engineers go to school to understand the sonic boundaries, right? It's like a painter. If you saw a painter paint the grass in the sky above the clouds, you would go, yo, man, what are you doing? That's not how it should look.
Yeah.
I mean, music has some of the same principles to it. You know what I mean? When you watch a cat do a mix, I remember the first time I was learning engineering and I was watching this dude mix 48 tracks. I'm going, it shouldn't have to be that complicated. And then he was teaching me panning a piano and the depths of the verb. And this dude was picking pockets of the piano over here and the sax over here. And he was like, no, Trey, you got to like get the sax over there and then like depth seven. I'm going, what? Right? See? That it's art, man. Yeah. And then when you take it from that engineer to the mastering engineer, it's a different dude.
That's why artists don't want to do it, because it's so many different levels to get the sound that you need, that you could have.
Right.
And they just want it. They just want to fast food it. You know, it's just like you can't microwave music if you wanted to last forever. Right. If you go back and listen to the old school and like I said, I listen to Stevie a lot and I listen to all the sounds that's in his music. And it's just like you can never have that music sounding the way it is just by saying, just by him recording one take and all the instruments that was involved, just one take and not having it mixed and mastered and put in the right place. Never would sound like that.
Never, man. You, if you study it, I remember back in the day, I know we're going on a tangent, man, but I think it's so instructive because it's just taking me back. I remember the first time I was mixing something and I got so frustrated because I learned to A-B my mixes against somebody I liked. And at the time, it was Dre. I mean, Dre and Pete Rock. I mean, Dre's mixes, and he had just finished, what was that group that flopped? It was Nas and Foxy Brown and AZ.
AZ.
Right?
Yeah.
But the mixes were crazy. I mean, boom, dum, 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 boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, my drums are not hitting like that. Why can't I? Right? And I just kept going back and forth, man, for hours, like, how is Dre doing that? And you just, but that's a part of the process, you know what I mean? And then spending time with this engineer who's like, oh, bro, you gotta. And then I working on the project and I recorded at the studio when Naughty by Nature was recording. And dude who did their joints, Dave Bellecchio, was engineering our session. I'm like, Dave, you gotta let me hear, you know, some of the tracks you did with Naughty, man. Like, how'd you, you know? And he let me hear a couple. And I'm like, come on, man. You know what I mean? I mean, but that's a part of the art. And so I'm not trying to discourage anyone. Just saying that don't totally discard, you know what I mean, without knowing, you know, what you're discarding.
Right.
Yeah.
And some of us fall in love with that rough draft so much that when we hear that final mix, we're not pleased with it. You know, because we're so good, like used to that first draft, and then, I want it to sound like that. If you don't get it close, it's through my whole album process. The album It Is Finished, through that whole process, when I heard it, the final mixes, I like, dang, this doesn't. It sounds good,
right?
But it doesn't sound how I recorded it when I recorded.
Yeah.
You know, so it took a while for me to get used to that sound. Yeah.
Do you find that you love it now?
Oh yeah. I went and did it. I go back and listen to those rough drafts and I listen to the final mix. And it's like, what was I doing?
What was I
listening to?
Yeah. That's good.
But it's a process. Like you said, it is a process to that.
Yeah. And I think your ears get tuned up too, right? Because, you know, your ears grow with things over time. So in terms of projects, like I was saying during the intro, man, you dropped two projects last year, man. Tell how'd that come to be? You dropped four projects.
I dropped four because two of them were projects I did, collaboration projects.
Okay.
Got four.
It Is Finished. Name the projects, right?
I dropped It Is Finished.
Right.
I dropped And the Glory Goes To, which was a collaboration project with my producer, Jackson. Mm-hmm. I dropped For Another Time, which was in November, December time.
Okay.
And I dropped Much More, which was another collaboration project with my bro, Aldre, which is now known as Uninvited.
Yeah,
four of them.
Yeah. Not to mention the other features, man, like the song that we just started playing, man. The RPH Experience Cypher. I mean,
Cypher. Yeah.
So a lot, so much music last year. What was the thought process behind all that music that you released last year?
You know what? When I get into a creative process, I make as much music as I can.
Okay.
So a lot of the music you heard was, I was sitting on that.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't necessarily all last year.
Okay.
So it's just when I'm in that time and God is like, he hits the green light. I'm working.
Just
I stand.
Going.
There's not a day that I don't do something music.
Yeah.
You know, like it's music related because I have my own equipment.
Okay.
So with that, it's like, I don't have to go outside anywhere else to do anything. I can just set up right here and go in.
Gotcha. Are you producing some of your own tracks as well?
Not now. In the beginning, I was, but not now. It's just like I have two in-house producers, which is Dave D and Jackson, and they're just like, they just take care of me.
They keep it going. Nice.
Yeah.
You spoiled, bro. Spoiled.
Yeah.
Spoiled. Spoiled. This brother's spoiled. You see that? That's that, like we used to say, that's that money laugh. See right there?
I can't even complain.
Daddy,
I can't
say spoiled. Nothing
different than what you're saying, man. Because especially with Jackson, like, he'll send me a folder every time I ask. So it's like, two days ago, he went live on Instagram. I heard him play a couple of joints that I have never heard him play.
Yeah.
And I was like, send that over. And he was like, no. Then I wake up the next morning and the folder was in my inbox.
Bam.
So,
see?
Yeah.
Spoil. That's what's up, Jackson. Y'all keep doing it. Hey, keep hooking him up. Let me, you know, two lyrics, man, I noted, man, because I've been listening to your stuff for a minute. But two in particular hit me, man. Furnace. The first verse, man, Lord, clean up this heart in me because I struggle with lust, sex, and pornography. Idolatry, too prideful for apologies. They say they're in their Bibles, but they lie to me. Somebody in power, so I'm checking their theologies. I'm supposed to act like somebody I don't know how to be. They really think I got it together. Well, I don't. I'm still shopping at the local Dollar Tree. That's real. Tell me about that, man. That's a lot of transparency at the beginning of a song, brother.
And let me tell you about that. So the song finally came out. I start opening up some of my sets with that song.
Mm.
And like you said, from jump, it hits you.
And it's the first song of the album.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it hit me. Like, I'm opening your album, I'm like, boom, and the beat just catch you. And I'm on my Peloton, by the way, right? I throw this in my Peloton playlist, right? I got my Peloton playlist. I got one playlist, and then I got playlists by BPMs, right? 10, 70s, 80s. So I throw this in, I'm like, ooh, he just goes in. Yeah.
But just imagine going to a show where no one really knows about me and you hear that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, there's some people that was thrown off by it because it was too much too early.
Yeah.
And they was just like, dang, like I would see the looks. And then some of them was just like you reacted, they would give that. So that's one of those songs that anybody can relate to.
Yeah.
You know, like that really is real life. That's I'm not trying to separate myself from the next man because I'm not better than him in any way.
Yeah.
And these are things that if I'm not struggling with it now, than I was at one point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm still in Dollar Tree. Like I'm going there after we get off here. So you know?
That joint hits. I keep it in the playlist because just like it says, idolatry too prideful for apologies.
Right.
yo, and those first six lines, I think it encapsulates so much in terms of Mouthpiece had a post the other day on Instagram, and I'm going to jack it up. But basically what he said is sometimes we are trading relevance for reverence.
Oh, yeah. Seen it.
You saw that? I read that a couple of times. I'm like, oof. And this takes me back to something I've heard several college students say sometimes while they struggle with talking with Christians is because we present this totally produced view, right? That is so clean, so right, peaks only, no valleys, right? And this and this opens it up straight up, like, yo, I'm fallible, right? It's not, you know what I mean? It's not all there. And so I love that, man, and I love that. Jerusalem, you know, Jerusalem was one of my joints, man. That was the first song. that was always my shot, bro. Especially that change up in the middle of the song.
I'm
gonna keep it short. I could literally spit the whole second half of the song, but I'm gonna keep it short. Jerusalem, the crazy part, I knew I'd lose them because people just round for a season. I didn't have to choose them. I just got to keep on moving and keep from looking back like Lot's wife. I'm just ready for my graduation. Not Kanye, but I'm seeing them flashing lights. You got the rights to me, Lord. You gave me yours and took the price for me, Lord. If I ain't speaking about your life in me, Lord, you got the right to take this mic from me, Lord. What causes you to talk to God so much in your songs, man, and with such conviction and I'm going to say conviction and what's the word I'm looking for, man? It's beyond, it's conviction along with almost like, look, I'm on the line for this. This is what I'm called to do. And I'm putting out in front of y'all that this is what I'm called to do. And this is the work. It's almost like open accountability.
Right.
Open accountability right. through your lines.
Right. I approach my music the same way I would approach a conversation.
Mm.
You know, so just like if I'm talking to you, like you, we can use this as a verse that I'm about to write.
Mm-hmm. Or,
you know, like it's the same way. Just like when you just touched on, you know, when people talk to Christians about certain things, I don't want to talk to you about what you should believe in. I'm going to talk to you about what I believe in and what happens, you know, when, how I got to this point. You know, I'm going to give you my conversations with God. Every conversation that I have with God is not thank you and I'm happy and everything's so blessed. Like, you know, like it's not like that. At the same time, it's still a lot of he can take this away from me right now.
Yeah.
You know, and like, going back to that line in Jerusalem, like you got the rights to take this off of me. If I slip up anywhere, that's where that open accountability comes in. If I slip up, you have the right to take it. If talking to you right now, if you see me slipping up somewhere, you got the right to call me out on that and say like, bro, what's up?
Right, right.
You know, and that's how I want to, that's the side of my walk that I want to show people. That's how I feel like, because when people talk to me, they're like, I've heard a lot of Christian rappers, but you're different because you're not forcing Jesus on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just showing you the way that I do life with Jesus.
Right.
That's it.
Right. I love that way of encapsulating, man. That's exactly how I love that way of saying it. You openly show how you're doing life with Jesus. That's so, because even your videos, man, hands up a lot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In your videos, man. That's one of the things I recall on the front of the site for a while. One of my favorite pieces was your jacket with Jesus on the, I forget what it says exactly, but Jesus on the back of that jean jacket, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, man. I love that. Man, as we wrap up, man, if you were, you know, sending a message to all the people who support you, and they say, though, you know, one thing, man, we want to hear from you, bro. What would that message be?
Consistency.
Mm.
I think from the time I started Christian music and anything, really, but I'll use Christian hip hop. From my very first song till now, it was consistency.
Mm.
You know, like you said it in the beginning of the interview, the consistency like that. And I'm not just talking about with releasing music, but the growth in music, learning music. Like it has to be a consistent thing if you really want to do this. Like consistently spending time in your word.
Yeah.
I can't talk about the word if I don't spend time in it. You know, I can't talk about what God is talking to me about if I'm not talking to him.
Right.
You know, like it has to be find whatever area it is that you want to be good at and start being consistent and learning what that area or how to be good in that area.
Yeah, that's good, bro.
I wish I had somebody to tell me that, you know, when I was coming up. It was like nobody was telling me. They would tell me I was good at stuff,
right,
but they never told me, you know, how to continue to be good or continue to be better than good or get better than good. And it was like, if you want to rap, you can rap, but don't just put out a song and think you made it, you know. And then this is, we can take out the spiritual part of this. Like, mm-hmm. this goes for business, people, this goes for whatever you do, like, be consistent.
Absolutely.
And that means learning everything. Like you said about mixing and you, how you broke that down, you would sit with people and you would ask questions of how you got this here, how this sounded like that, how you got that sound. It's like, you have to do that.
Absolutely.
You have to.
Absolutely. I love that,
That's the word I would give.
I love that, man. Hey, brother, thanks for spending time with me, man. It's good.
Hey, thank you for reaching out and wanting to do this. Like we said, this was overdue, but man, I want to keep going.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Hey, well, y'all been in the house with another Kingdom Building Conversation with Young C, and you know what it is. We'll see y'all soon. God bless.